This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. On July 22nd, bulldozers breached the Veazey Dam at Eddington, Maine, an 830-foot strip of concrete that had separated the Atlantic Ocean and the Penobscot River for a century. It was an effort undertaken by an unlikely coalition of conservationists and fishermen and power companies and others who came together to help restore 1,000 miles of endangered Atlantic salmon habitat. Brian Graber heads one of those organizations. He's director of the River Restoration Program at American Rivers. We spoke with him about the process of removing one of those old New England dams.
I guess I'll just start off with saying that there are more than 14,000 dams in New England.
Wowie.
It's an incredible number, and many of them were built decades of centuries ago to power mills. And those mills, in many, perhaps most cases, are no longer operational. But the dams still remain. Most of the dam removal projects that we are working on, and there have been 96 dam removals since 1999 in the New England states, most of those dam removals are for dams that are no longer serving the purpose that they were built to provide, often not providing any kind of economic benefit for their dam owners. So we are working opportunistically, usually with dam owners, to take dams out. We don't go around targeting dams necessarily to try to pursue their removal, but instead are working collaboratively with dam owners who are not interested in continuing to afford their structures. That's a little bit different from the Penobscot case, where this was a negotiation from a hydropower relicensing, but the dam owner here is also a major partner in the project.
14,000 dams that you've counted in the area. How have those projects affected American wildlife and topography?
Dams have a tremendous impact on rivers. They block the movement of fish that need to be able to move both throughout the year and throughout their life history to be able to spawn upstream. They also inundate habitat, so they turn what would be natural flowing rivers into ponded habitats. And they have water quality impacts. Usually, as dams sit in the summer sun, all that water, that stagnant water, warms up. And when water warms up, oxygen levels in the water go down, and that impacts species in the river also. So when you take a dam out, and we found that there really is no faster or effective way to bring a river back to life than removing a dam, when you take a dam out, life just blossoms.
I imagine it's a pretty interesting coalition. You rarely get conservationists and power companies and fishermen to agree. Now, how tough is it getting all these parties to come together in a project like this?
Well, this is certainly a long-term negotiation. It's something that is done on most hydropower projects throughout the country. Hydropower dams have licenses with the federal government to produce power. And as those licenses get renewed every somewhere between 30 to 50 years, we work to negotiate benefits for both the river and for the hydropower generation itself. This one has been about a decade in the making. It's one of several dams the Penobscot Trust has been working on, and we are a member of that trust. One dam, the Great Works Dam, was removed last year, and then there's a third dam further upstream, the Howland Dam, that's going to have a fish bypass put around it, hopefully next year, but maybe in the next couple years.
Brian Graber, director of the River Restoration Program at American Rivers, one of several groups that came together to tear down the Veazey Dam in Eddington, Maine. Brian, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Virginia.
You can find out more about the Penobscot River Restoration Trust at wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you for your listening time today. You can follow up with anything you heard on our Facebook page or by following Word of Mouth on Twitter. If you'd like to share something you heard with a friend, go to wordofmouthradio.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more stories, best told by Word of Mouth, tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.